We are live. It's Friday night. You are listening to Warm Beer in the Cheap Seats. I'm Casey. I'm with Big Mike. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. Hey, everybody. What's happening? It's Big Mike. It's Friday night. It's 8 o'clock-ish. This is when we do our show.
Yeah, we're a little late.
We're a
few minutes after 8.
We had to eat. We don't do good on empty stomachs.
No, not so much, you notice. No.
Melissa hooked us up tonight.
Yes.
Big shout out to Sweet Melissa. Thank you, Sweet Melissa. From Joe's Diner.
Joe's New York Diner.
Yes.
In Tampa.
Ate there twice today so far. Had breakfast and had dinner.
That's awesome.
So I should get a Joe, like, cap or t-shirt or something.
I agree. Like a plaque on the wall.
I should get a plaque on the wall. I've eaten a lot of eggs in that place.
Oh, yeah, same here. I like that, like, when you sit down there, they'll just randomly, like, oh, thanks for coming in. Here's a cucumber salad. You're like, oh, okay.
Oh, okay, thanks. In the morning, they give you random fruit.
They do just give you random fruit.
And I'm a fan of the random fruit. Some of my compadres that I meet for breakfast are not fans of the random fruit. But it's fruit. What's there not to like about fruit?
Is there a fruit you're not excited to see on a breakfast plate?
Good question. And we're talking just typical fruits. We're not talking exotics, are we?
Yeah, I'm not going to worry about, like, something weird that no one knows what it is, unless you're, like, a New Guinea papa or something like that. But right.
But just regular American fare?
Yeah.
No, I will eat it all. I'm a fan of it all.
I know there are people out there that are not fan of melons.
Really?
Yeah.
Like a cantaloupe?
Yeah,
or,
cantaloupe.
Or honeydew?
Or even honeydew. And I love honeydew.
Delicious. Especially when it's perfectly ripe and sweet and delicious.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I like it as well.
I'm a big fan.
Papaya I could do without. Not crazy about it.
Papaya, I wouldn't order it in my fruit plate. However, if it came on my fruit plate, I would eat the papaya.
Right.
But it would be early on because I'd save, like, the cantaloupe and grapes and stuff for
Yeah, get
the
that
end.
Papaya flavor out of your mouth.
Right. De-papayify your palate. So, hey, fans out there, if you have any comments,
Fruit aversions.
You can reach us in many different ways. And hi, Di. Good to see you in the message board tonight.
Yep.
So, Casey, if they wanted to tell us about fruit aversions, give us shit about not being super papaya fans, how would they reach us?
Well, you can reach us on Twitter at Beer Seats, or you can go to our website at warmbeerinthecheapseats.com, and you can send us a message there, or you can email us at the show at warmbeerinthecheapseats.com.
Yeah.
.com.
.com.
Not .net.
Not .ca, because we're not in Canada.
Yeah, not .org.
Or .gov.
Well, definitely not that.
We're definitely not government material.
No. Nope. So. All right. NHL. I mean, we're moving along the season. Montreal clinched. They knocked out Winnipeg pretty quick. Montreal blew through Winnipeg, but I don't trust how good they are. Because you're like, well, they were down against Toronto in the previous series. Toronto should have won that. But Toronto is probably the most snake-bit hockey franchise. I don't think they've won a Stanley Cup in about 60 years.
That's snake bit.
Yeah, and, you know, oddly enough, they might have the second most Stanley Cup victories, even being that long ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's saying something.
If not, they're third right behind Detroit, but it's pretty close. Anyways, so Montreal's there. They're waiting for the winner of the Colorado-Vegas series, which I think it's tonight.
What's that game? What is it?
I think that's 3-2 with Vegas ahead. And then the Lightning swept Carolina. So they moved on, and they are now going to play the New York Islanders.
Repeat from last year.
Yeah.
Do the Islanders come with a vengeance, like a chip on their shoulder? And
a little bit, and they're playing a little better. They picked up a couple of veteran guys in the off season, and they're really, really kind of tightening it up. But what they do have in their favor, they are a bigger, stronger team. Lightning are definitely a seasoned team that is very, very deep, and we probably have the hottest goalie in the playoffs. And Stanley Cup hockey, it's the most important thing. So, anyways, that should be pretty good. I mean, they seem like they were going nuts in Long Island, so I'm sure they're looking forward to that.
So, we got some. When does the Lightning series begin? Tomorrow night?
I don't know. I just have to look that up. I had it written down somewhere.
Sweet Melissa, who's downstairs in Studio C, which our friends out there may not have heard, she says it may not have been announced yet.
I believe they're waiting for the other series to end, and then they can get both semifinals kind of lined up where they're within a day of each other. So. But in baseball this week, the big news was, well, Josh Donaldson kind of started this conversation saying a lot of pitchers have been doctoring the ball using a substance that's known as spider tack, which what it is you have your rosin out there, but they're rubbing their own skin where you have like sunscreen, and it'll create a tacky substance that gives you better grip on a ball where you can create a higher spin rate, which makes the ball, as they would say, very lively or alive, and it's going to have a lot of movement and action. So,
what's your thoughts on that?
Well, the rule book says the only substance that you as a pitcher can have on you is the rosin bag, and that's it. And that's the rule. I mean, I stand pat with that idea. I think that's a dumb rule. And if you say it's more exciting, I say no, because everyone in the American League just strikes out. At least a pitcher knows how to bunt and can move a guy from second to third. You know, so I don't know. Listen, I'm not the commissioner, but Eric Cole was asked, have you ever used a substance? And in the press conference, he looked very frightened, didn't respond for a good 5-10 seconds, and then proceeded to say he didn't know how to answer that question. Then he proceeded to say that there are things when you're younger, you're taught by older guys, and it's handed down from generation to generation. So
kind of like moonshining?
Kind of like moonshining. And then he basically implicated a lot of older veterans are saying this has been going on. We're just doing what we do. Look, the rules are pretty. The commissioner needs to get ahead of this before it gets out of control. So, whatever. If they're making money, I guess that's all they care about. But you know, they complain about the product. I mean,
we want the integrity of the game, though. I think that's very important.
I think that's very important. And I would stop advertising with DraftKings. There's just going to be a point in time where the gambling is going to directly affect the outcome of pro sports. And, you know, that's going to be just the death of all that.
And that's like the big thing in pro sports now, all pro sports, that, you know, gambling is becoming much more
prevalent
amongst.
Well, it's encouraged.
Absolutely, it's encouraged. So, you know, this is revenue for the states, revenue on the internet.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about it. I don't know if it's good or bad. I think it's more bad than good, but I'm not a big gambler. So that's where I stand on it, just not being a gambler.
Yeah, I mean, I used to do a lot more fantasy sports. I'm kind of burnt out on it. I've been doing it, though. For long enough that it was called rotisserie baseball back in the 80s. So I've kind of been there, done that, and I just doesn't really interest me as it did in the past. And you know, I just to be good at it, you got to invest some time, and that's just not the time I got to invest now.
More time than you care.
More time than I care. Correct.
I do play fantasy NASCAR with some buddies, and it's we're not playing for any kind of money. We're just playing for bragging rights, and it's fun. I spend probably about half hour to an hour on Sunday morning working on my picks, and then that's it. And then I make my picks, and during the race I play. We play with on NASCARs. It's what's the name of it? It escapes me, but NASCAR's official fantasy website or fantasy league, and you pick five drivers. You have one driver in your garage, and you can sub that driver in your garage in for any of the other drivers at any time up until stage two, the end of stage two of the race. After that, you're locked in. So the five guys you have, that's it.
Interesting.
Is that Ed up there?
Yeah, he's here.
Hey, why are we getting an echo?
Yeah, we have an echo.
I don't know.
Stand by. Oh, they went away.
Nope.
All right.
It's there.
Well, how you doing, Big Ed?
I'm doing pretty good.
Something's not right with that mic or something. Oh, maybe stop doing it.
There we go.
Yeah, there we go.
All right, okay. Fans. Sorry for the technical difficulties.
Yeah, we can get through it. Sorry.
Hey, Big Ed.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on pitchers doctoring up their spider tack or any other substances?
If it's referencing what we talked about last night, I think, you know, it's kind of like the magician's code. You know, you don't – that's like a trade secret that's kept amongst professionals. You know, that's generational secrets like magicians.
So
sure,
you're okay with it?
How you levitate them. No, I don't think – I don't think he should give out the trade secrets.
You know, they used to say Mike Scott, when he went to the Astros, he went on a 4-year run that was pretty incredible. And people used to say his split finger fastball was so devastating, he had to have been doctoring the baseball, possibly scuffing, which was a very common thing in the 80s. And he was never caught to have a tool on him, which some pitchers have been caught before having a file. And many baseballs have been taken away by the umpire for inspection, and they've never found a scuff mark on a baseball. You know, some guys are – but there were guys in the 80s that was kind of an issue. I know there were a couple guys that kind of got caught with the scuff in the baseball.
Taking away the integrity of the game. So, I mean,
well, you know, in NASCAR, they call it, you know, if you get caught, it's cheating, right?
Yeah. And if you don't, it's you're beating the rules and
or you're losing.
Well, yeah, this is true. And I think that's why in NASCAR, they're pushed to go to this new car, which we'll have next year with standardized parts that are direct control in NASCAR. But, you know, the big teams will find a way to enhance.
Well, no, parts. It goes back to the legitimacy of the game. If you have people circumventing the rules, then why have rules? Just do whatever. Just go out there with the shotgun, just blast a guy away and just run around the bases, you know? I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, rules are rules. I mean, that's how you play the game. You got to play within those confines. First off, you talk about if you're a gambler, you're like, well, you don't even know, you know, it's all unknown conditions. Why would you even gamble? You don't even know what's a level playing field anymore. I mean, football is the worst for that anyways, for fantasy sports, because you don't even know who's injured anymore. No one even tells you. They're just like, they're just not playing all of a sudden.
So, yeah.
Oh, Brian Westbrook, he was the worst. Remember Brian Westbrook the Eagles? God, that guy was always injured on the injury list, and he'd be starting on Sunday, and he'd put up above average numbers every time. If not, a monster week. On a week that he's supposed to be done.
Tom Brady, like, for 16 years was on the injury list, injury report every week for the Patriots. And the only time he missed was when he had that knee injury in 2008. But every week it was a lower body injury, as it would always be listed.
Trying to smoke everybody.
Well, that's Belichick, too. You know, he's...
That was Belichick. Well, he's the exception. He never would come straight.
Right. Videotaping people's practices, man. It shows you what lengths you go to want to win the game.
Anything, it seems. Anything. Hey, what about dog shows? Think there's any cheating in dog shows? As we're watching... a commercial for the Westminster dog show. That's a sport, sort of.
I don't know what you consider, but they do show it on a lot of times on like
ESPN.
ESPN or the NBC Sports Channel.
They're competing for prizes and money, so same with the quarter horses, the thoroughbreds.
No, listen, the horses just know they're going to get oats at the end. That's why they're running so damn fast.
Honey oats?
Yeah, but they just suspended Bob Baffert, who's won, I don't know, how many derbies? Seven?
Yeah. No, well,
and they stripped the what was horse's name that won this year? Stripped him of his win.
Yeah. Well, Baffert's got a little history. Yeah, but Baffert has a history, specifically Kentucky, with horses not peeing clean, if you will.
Peeing dirty.
Yeah. So he's a multiple offender, so they had to suspend him.
You get to suspend him hard because he's it's bad enough you do it to a human being, and usually a human is willing, you know? An animal doesn't know. Animal doesn't know if it sprains its ankle that it's going to get a 22 in the back of the head.
Yep.
Poor horsies.
Well, I could tell you our mutual friend, Mr. DiBiase, is probably happy to see that Mr. Baffert is getting his...
And so is an old friend from Ohio, a young blonde named Sherry Waples. She's huge, loves the horses, loves to put down a bet on a horse as well.
Loves, you know, Ohio, they like those, the trotters, whatever they call those, that do the chariots.
Yeah, I was just going to say, aren't those like the chariot horses?
Yeah, that's such a weird
thing. Trotters,
name.
That's real discipline, too.
I always heard that was, it's got a bad reputation of being very fixed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because you could easily have your horse break gait, and once that happens, and when I mean break gait, you know how the trotters, they move? That's why they have those straps in their legs, you know, to keep their strides. But once they break that stride, or they call it the gait, they have to go all the way to the back of the field.
Correct.
It's like known. It's not like, you know, they know, they, and a lot of times they know they do it, you know, and they'll put themselves back. It's also dangerous because those guys, it's nothing there. It's their legs wide open on this. On the bicycle tires.
I think they should go faster.
I think so too.
Like I had a couple horses connected to that chariot. Just let it rip.
Let it rip.
You know.
Yeah.
Take gallop away.
It's kind of like restricted place. Just cut the straps on the legs and let them run.
exactly right.
You see the fucking guys in the back bouncing around.
They'd be like a cartoon. They're like holding on to the.
It'd be like Benny Hill music playing. You know, it'd be all fucking crazy.
They look like stuntmen. They'd probably be just being dragged on the ground, like holding on, like an old western.
Yeah.
Getting dragged. Yeah, or they'd look like a Fred Flintstone cartoon holding on to the what do you call it, the stirrup. Stirrups, is that right? Yeah, stirrups. Yeah, sure. And then they're like their body just floating out in the back. Yeah. That's the noise they'd make.
Yeah, so it's the last fucking the bear.
So what else we got tonight? Why do you think there are more zebras that race? Why would they? Could you get a zebra to race? Because that's a wild animal.
Why not?
Horses.
I mean, they spend their life running from the king of the jungle. You'd think there'd be pretty good runners. You'd think, you know, fantastic point there. I'm going to bring a zebra to the Kentucky Derby next year. Seeing there's an open availability, thank you, Mr. Baffert. I got your slot. Yeah, will a zebra could you qualify?
I think there'd be some prejudice, you know, with the between the zebras and the thoroughbreds, you know. What's your
the
history,
zebra would be shorter,
know?
Wouldn't it?
Yeah, they don't like anyone outside of Kentucky. I could tell you that.
What if it's a Kentucky zebra?
Oh, that's how you do it.
You know, like one from you know it's.
Yeah, you got to.
He was an immigrant. His parents were immigrants.
Yeah, it was escaping the war.
Yeah, and he's a native Kentuckian. So, you know, he's a horse zebra thing. Zebra, which is in the equine family.
Yeah.
So
he's got hooves.
Yeah. So maybe he is.
I think they're considered like the peasants of the equines, you know, kind of like how the knights of the round table used to fight the with the jousting, you know?
Oh, yeah,
yeah. I'm like, oh, you're not part. Let me see your royalty papers there, Trollfaz, you know?
I got neat stripes.
Skippy.
Speaking of stripes, like fruit stripes gum, they had a zebra.
They did. That was the most flavorful gum for 4 seconds.
Yeah. Then it was gone.
All that product was shit.
I mean.
But they made us want it.
It was so tangy and delicious. For those 4 seconds, though, it was like complete nirvana. And then all of a sudden, it's kind of like...
Like your first sip of a squirt.
Yeah.
And then
squirt gum?
Garbage after that. Yeah.
I remember that.
So do
it's 8:30. Where are your kids at?
hopefully they're listening to our show because it is family friendly, sorta.
Sorta.
It's
sure, until you start hearing like, hey, cocksucker. Or earmuffs, like at Peppers. Earmuffs.
Earmuffs. Oh, boy. So. What else we got tonight, Casey?
You know, we got a sponsor tonight.
Who's our sponsor? How did we get a sponsor?
Listen, they reached out to me. They reached me by email at the show at Warm Beer and the Cheap Seats. It's a new retail clothing outfitter called Forever 38.
Ooh, tell me more.
Listen, Forever 38 is the best in retail fashion. Their inventory has been low. They wanted me to express this to you guys. It's been low due to the pandemic, but they finally have all the pull-away pants you could ever hope to desire.
Well, because Forever 38, you wear the same cargo shorts.
So if you want to pretend you're like NBA Jams and running out there in your warm-ups, and then bam, you just pull them off, or you're like a Chippendale.
Wow. So yep. That's where they get them.
They promise their cargo shorts have more pockets.
How many pockets do they have?
One more than the regular brand.
Wow. Forever 38.
Seven.
Forever 38. They have more plain white New Balance tennis shoes than any other retailer out there.
Wow.
Guaranteed. Forever 38.
Wow. Forever 38.
This Forever 38 sounds great.
Well, all you know, if they could afford for the licensing, they were going to use the song forever young and change the words to be forever old. They just couldn't afford it.
So they got us.
Hey, what are you doing, Big Ed? A bear? What's going on over there?
I'm making my iced coffee, my traditional ice, my show iced coffee. It's a whole thing. I'm running 7 minutes behind.
Wait, now you're taking a piss?
Yeah, we. Taking
no.
Jeez. Are you pissing on rocks?
What's going on over there?
I don't know if our fans want to hear this.
It's just the water from the sink, cleaning off the little ice cube. See?
Oh.
Thank you.
The studio audience is disturbed by that.
Of course. They're disturbed by me making an iced coffee?
I don't know. It sounds like anything but iced coffee.
I don't want it.
Oh, it's delicious.
So the French Open's going on. I will mention Rafael Nadal will not finally win because I feel like he's won like the last like 25 in a row. Djokovic knocked him out. But the French Open had a interesting start because you had Naomi Osaka, a female tennis player, a good American tennis player, announced that she would not be fielding questions and talking to press during the event, which immediately got blowback. The French Open fined her $15,000, and then she immediately resigned. So she didn't even play in the tournament. Now everyone's coming out supporting her and about mental health. And I want to say mental health is important. And if she feels like she needs to talk to someone, she needs to go and see treatment and talk to someone. But
she should have done this before the tournament, though.
She should have done it before the tournament. Now,
look, if you can't handle the pressure, then you can't play the sport.
I could find a nice quiet park where you could play tennis and no one will ask you questions. But you're a professional. You're getting paid a lot of money. The media help sell you to the public. They're as much as a tool. And you have paid sponsors, and you're doing everyone a disservice. I thought it was grossly unprofessional, and I think a lot of people saying that was okay that she did that, just on the guise of, like, she don't feel like talking to the press because they ask stupid questions. Who cares? They're going to ask you stupid questions.
But that's the press's job, and your job as an athlete is to field those questions and do your best with them.
Now, the upside is public
speaking.
Yeah,
but that's this generation, you know. I don't feel right. I'm not comfortable, you know. You know what? Get over it.
Without knowing Earl, I don't think it was probably any specific issue. I feel like that was a problem.
Yeah, she's had a lot of weird things that went on. But, you know, like, tennis has been in a weird space. I think that titanium racket they need to just get rid of and go back to wood rackets. I'm on John McEnroe's side. He's been screaming about that for years. But she won a U.S. Open a couple years ago, and Serena Williams threw a temper tantrum and caused the girl to cry at the ceremony. So she's had a weird run as a pro, like just – very.
But why would it Serena Williams? What kind of temper tantrum did she
throw? Well, she's just a sore loser.
She got her ass whooped, so it happened. That's part of sport.
No. She has to win every match. Otherwise, she's going to yell at people.
That's poor sportsmanship.
She's one of the biggest poor sports I've seen. She's horrible.
She's LeBron's pretty good at being a sore sport.
He is. Well, he's a lot of people getting after him on Twitter, having fun, seeing Lakers, you know, getting bounced. You know, that team's not going anywhere. You know, his best days are behind him, and, you know, they put him with Anthony Davis. He's made out of balsa wood. Now, the 76ers, I've been kind of intrigued just because there's now a wrestling tie-in because Joel Embiid was doing channeling D-Generation X.
Uh-huh.
And trust the process. And basically telling fans to suck it and do this thing. And it was really good. So the other day they actually had, they have a ceremony for the 76ers. They bring a fan out. Like they have a little Liberty Bell and they take a little hammer and they bang on it to get the fans going into the game. They had Triple H. Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So wrestling found its way to cross over into pro basketball there briefly, which is pretty awesome.
I wonder how many crossover fans you have. Did Triple H get a pretty good ovation?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. The players seem just as excited to see him on the court.
All right, so there is some crossover there.
Well, Joel Embiid is definitely a big wrestling fan. So I think he kind of got that arranged. So, you know, we were supposed to have a Subway Slam on tonight, but he got kind of tied up with something. You know, so
he's giving back to the community. He is doing something for the local school this evening.
Oh, he must be out there with Titus O'Neil.
We had a brief conversation today. Yeah, made sure everything was okay with him.
Oh, we got someone here. Wait, what's going on here? Who's this guy? Who's this? Oh yeah, yeah. What's going on? What's going on? Warm beer and a cheap seat.
Whoa! It's the ultra masculine gentleman.
That's right.
Wow, dude, what are you doing here on our show?
Well, I heard Subway Slam was going to be
here.
It's
the Karen lover. Is he wearing his I Heart Karen t-shirt?
He bailed out. Oh, he's such a coward. He should have been here. You know, no one takes Karen off her pedestal. The only thing coming off the pedestal is me with my big elbow onto the Subway Slam.
Wow, are you calling him out?
Calling him out. I want to see him at the SummerSlam.
Subway Slam. Slam, did you hear that? The ultra-masculine gentleman called you out. So if you're listening out there tonight, you better be aware of what's going on.
Oh, yeah, just watch your back.
Wow. So what else is going on, ultra-masculine gentleman?
Well, I got to first protect the honor of Karen, make sure she's okay.
Is she okay?
She's going to be fine.
Get a haircut.
Now.
She's fine. Take a seat there,
didn't have to
gentleman,
speak to the manager.
Gentleman masculine.
It's the ultra-masculine gentleman, Big Ed.
Yeah, don't be a jabroni.
Wow, this is so great to have a wrestling superstar on her show.
What are you going to do, lay this smacketh down on me?
I think that's a different guy.
He called me a jabroni. That's the same guy.
Jabroni.
Jabroni. Did you think of that one all by yourself?
Masculine gentleman.
Or did Karen help you with that?
It's the only word I got written on my hand, so I don't forget.
Why are you giving away secrets, ultra masculine gentleman?
There are secrets that are passed down from generation to generation.
Those are trade secrets.
Can you share
some of those? MLBs and hot water for trade secrets.
I don't even know how to answer that.
You could just answer normally.
All right, I got to go.
Where are you going, ultra-masculine gentleman?
Well, that was
he's a skittish one.
Yeah, that was brief.
Yeah, well, maybe
he's like a 6'8" chihuahua, you know? All bark, no bite, you know?
I don't know, but Subway Slam better look out.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't
He's
think
not making friends.
I don't think I want to be called out by the ultra-masculine gentleman.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, Subway Slam, are you listening? You can call in Subway Slam if you'd like, even though you didn't make it on the show tonight.
Yeah. Yeah.
But don't call if you're listening to this in the recorded sessions, because you won't reach us. But anyway,
hey, let me. What do you think about some current events to run through?
Let's talk about current events.
All right. I got a question for the both of you.
Okay.
How many oceans are there?
Okay, oceans, or can you use seas, or is it
no,
ocean? No, ocean, like Indian Ocean, Pacific. I think there's seven.
There's seven seas. That's what the pirates tell us. Let's see. There's the Atlantic Ocean, the Pacific Ocean.
Yep.
The Indian Ocean.
Yep.
The Arctic Ocean.
Correct.
I got a little help from Cheap Seats on that one.
All right. So according to the National Geographic, there's now five oceans.
What's the new one?
The new one is going to be called the Southern Ocean. It's the body of water that surrounds Antarctica. And, a lot of people in the science community were unsure of it, but they feel they could recognize it as an ocean that could stand on its own because of it has its own unique currents that differentiate from the currents that butt up against the Indian, Pacific, and Atlantic oceans. Because before, they just kind of assumed they're all part of that one body, but it's a different body of water with a different current, and it's in different temperatures.
So is that what defines an ocean, is if it has its own unique currents?
Correct.
Not to be confused with current.
Well, according to NOAA, there are seven.
Oceans?
NOAA, like,
yeah, because they break up the Atlantic into North and South, and same with the Pacific. So there's the Arctic, the North, South, the North Atlantic, South Atlantic, North Pacific, South Pacific, Indian, and Southern Oceans.
Oh, you mean NOAA, like the National Ocean, whatever, whatever.
They're the big ones when it comes to that, you know?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good. That's one of those you. It's kind of one of those you and what army, you know?
The Pacific Ocean Army
or Atlantic Ocean Army?
Oh yeah, that's
watch out for the Indian Ocean Army. So we got that. What else we got in the world of current events?
Conan O'Brien has announced the date and the guest, his last guest, for his last broadcast of his late-night talk show, Conan, which is on TBS. He's been on air for over 28 years in the, you know, with the two different, with NBC and TBS. He's going to be retiring the microphone, if you will, from the late-night talk show circuit. However, he already has something in works with HBO, just not sure what it's going to be.
Hmm.
So... but his last guest, does anyone want to take a guess?
Who it's going to be?
Yes.
Jay Leno.
Oh, absolutely not, but that would be good TV.
Why are they not friends?
They are not friends. No, Jay Leno got him fired from NBC.
So not Jay Leno.
He had the Tonight Show for like, I don't know, 9 days or something, really quick.
Yeah, and then Jay Leno got him pushed out. No, it's not Oprah. It's Jack Black, actually.
Oh.
I was kind of surprised because his last guest on NBC on two different occasions when he ended the original late night show and then the Tonight Show, it was Will Ferrell was his last guest.
Hmm.
So... I guess they got a lineup of people
the
they signed up
this last week.
Yeah, he's got some big names there. I had it somewhere else. Basically
Short,
in the final
James
2 weeks.
Bill Hader, Dana Carvey.
Yeah, Mila Kunis, Martin Short, Patton Oswalt.
Yeah.
So
Patton Oswalt turned out to be a big disappointment.
Yeah, he's all right.
He has a great stand-up on an 80s twang. It's great.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like he's talking about MTV music videos in the 80s, you know? You know, the guy would come out, he's got ripped jeans, and then all of a sudden be the magic riff, and he'd be like, Scribby Squidgy! And he's got on some Jordache high-top Nikes, and, you know, nice denim shirt. It always comes up, the wickety scram do, and they come out with acid wash jeans and flip collar leather jacket, you know. Like, he's referencing, like, ZZ Top videos. Remember, like, Legs and
how about, you
know, stuff from the early 80s? The Magic.
Any Z Cavaricis?
Oh, yeah.
Does he
have Jordache?
But the sound he making, like, scribbity damn do. You know, when he take his fingers and make, like, a guitar movement with it. You know? This early stuff, this is, like, before King of Queens and all that. This is, like, 20 years old, almost 25.
Do you guys know who Jeffrey Tobin is?
Jeffrey Tobin.
Yes.
No.
Well, some would say he gained fame for writing a story about the OJ trial, which later on, years later, got picked up and they made like a little miniseries. Some people might know him as the guy that got fired from the New Yorker by playing with himself during a live Zoom call.
Oops.
Yes.
He is actually, let's see a picture of this
guy. He's in the news right now because he's a legal analyst, of all things, for CNN, and CNN is bringing him back on TV. But he had stated that, I made an embarrassingly stupid mistake believing I was off camera. I apologize to my wife, family, friends, and coworkers. I believed I was not visible on Zoom. I thought no one in Zoom
and my dog,
could see me.
And my dog Spot, whom I allegedly shot in the eye.
I thought I had muted the Zoom video. I didn't think I was on the call, didn't think other people could see me.
What the hell makes you want to like rub one out after a Zoom call?
Well, no, during the Zoom call. During Zoom call, they
it
were
was
doing
like
a
Patton Oswalt skit. Scribbity scram coo.
Why was your laptop open if you weren't on a Zoom call?
What could inspire you to
Well,
do
the
such
the
a thing
was he just didn't say like, "You know what? I shouldn't have been beaten off during workout."
Sure. You should beat off during your
own
hour.
He's fine with it as long as no one can see him.
That's what he was saying.
That's what he said. That's what he said.
Well, that's a man. That's a man with integrity right there, right?
Now listen. Now,
scribbity scram goo.
Listen, we're on ESPN, but the only camera shot we're giving you is right at your crotch to make sure it's in the pants.
Yeah.
Listen, you know, just got to make sure it's in the pants. So the camera is always zoomed in on the crotch.
That's lovely.
And then you could be like, did something move down there? What's going on?
I don't want to know if anything's moving down there.
Well, if you don't have the camera fixed down there, he's moving something down there.
Yeah.
Like
Willie.
Like he's beating up something like it owes him a debt.
That's crazy.
Well, you know.
Hey, fine if it's on your own time.
I like that he's not really that apologetic other than.
No, he's like, hey.
I wish I didn't get caught.
I was rubbing one out. If I didn't get caught, it would have been great. I did get caught. Not so great. Sorry.
I mean, in other news. They finally released the trailer of the new He-Man animated series that's going to appear on Netflix.
Did they really?
Yeah.
We need to see this.
So that was Kevin Smith of Clerks fame.
Right.
Many other movies. Has been working on his project as the executive producer. And so it's ready to release 5 episodes next month. So He-Man and grabbed her. Well, anyways,
yeah.
He-Man's back.
Now you watch the
trailer.
Oh,
and Mark Hamill is going to be doing the voice of Skeletor.
All right.
Yeah.
So the trailer. What was your thoughts? Are they going to do it justice, or is it?
You know, I honestly need to see more because what they did was like an 80s music video montage. With the song "I Need a Hero," and it was just like He-Man just blowing shit up.
That's awesome.
You know, Orko using the dark arts and just all sorts of stuff going on. Yep. I don't know if they're going to use our Orko.
That'd be awesome if they did.
Yeah.
They never showed his, like, we talked about this on a podcast long ago. On a podcast. Oh, look at Bailey. We're watching wrestling.
Yeah. I mean, no one knows what Orko's dong looks like.
No. Or what his head looks like. Just his eyes and his
little pointy ears.
Pointy ears and his whatever the fuck schmuck he's got on.
I think he's got to be dirty.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, he never changes it.
Yeah, well, what if he has multiple?
Well, all right. Then
and he just picks them up at the dry cleaner.
Oh, so he's like Steve Jobs. Like, I just wear the same clothes every day so I don't have to think about it.
Correct. He's Orko, damn it. Listen, I'm a wizard, right?
Steve Jobs was Forever 38.
He would have liked Forever 38.
Yeah, gray cargo shorts and a light blue polo shirt. That's it. You don't have to think about what you're wearing. It's the same thing, as long as it's clean.
Right.
Well, that's not exciting. I kind of like different.
Just a factoid. Look, Forever 38 is not for everyone, Big Mike.
I guess so.
It's definitely a niche market.
Yeah, I guess I'm not in their niche.
Hey, did you guys see also in, more football sports news, former head coach of the Giants, Jim Fossil, passed away?
No, I didn't see that. What was his
about
natural
a week ago.
Causes? Or,
yeah, you're 71.
Still pretty young.
He had a heart attack while under sedation. So, yeah. But I'll always remember him as the coach that made the guarantee that the Giants, in the midst of a big losing streak, that they were going to make the playoffs. And then they ended up going to the Super Bowl that year. They went on a pretty incredible run.
Didn't he make the call to run the play? You know, when you're running the clock out, you take a knee. He didn't take a knee. They took and they just crushed the line because they thought they were going to take a knee. Wasn't he the head coach from the Giants today?
No. That was Schiano that won. You're talking about the guy that won the defense to – like blitz the quarterback that was taking a knee.
Yeah, fucking dummy.
That was Greg Schiano.
Yeah, okay. That was Greg Schiano.
And he almost hurt people. That was a really dumb move. Yeah. So
that's like the guy jerking off on the Zoom call. Oh, I didn't know anyone was watching.
Yeah, you and
I didn't think anyone would care. Just trying to keep my edge.
Unbelievable. Much like our show is unbelievable. Very unbelievable.
But it is believable because we're actually saying these things.
Do you have your notes readily available there, Big Ed?
I do not.
You don't?
I have my one. I do not. They're on a text.
Not that. I mean, for the our next segment.
Yes.
Where I cue this.
Yes.
That means it's time for Big Ed's Rock and Roll Retrospective.
How'd you like that?
That was great, guys. I'm all for Clint. This week is kind of special. We're doing bands that never made it really big after their first album, but had terrific first albums. And I think this is probably one of the best albums you've never heard of. It's called Zebras, a debut album by an American hard rock band. It was released in 1983, after 8 years after they were founded. They're originally from the Louisiana area. Made their way up to New York and just gained some big traction in a short amount of time. The album features all original material with the exception of Slow Down, which was a Larry Williams tune. And if you guys listen to any Beatles, it was a big Beatles hit back in the early 60s. The album also features two hits which received national airplay, Who's Behind the Door and Tell Me What You Want. On the strength of both singles, the album became one of Atlantic's fastest-selling debut albums ever. It peaked at number 29 on the charts and sold 75,000 albums its first week. Now, what the record company failed to notice at the time, these albums that were being sold were all from the New York tri-state area and the Louisiana area. So they did like national numbers from regions. So that kind of hurt them, and they failed to recognize that and didn't promote them well enough nationwide. And that kind of hurt them. The album's called Zebra. What's that?
I just think it's wild that they sold that many albums in only two regions, and the record company did nothing to promote them more. That's crazy.
No, it's just – it's a very tough business. And when the second album wasn't as great, they, you know, had some brilliance on it, but nothing like the first one. The first one was just like lightning in a bottle, you know. Like I said, the album was recorded in 1982. It's 38 minutes long. There are nine tracks. They're all pretty solid. The label is Atlantic, which was big. That was the Zeppelin label at the time or before, you know, that's what launched. They sold more records debut than Zeppelin, you know, their first few months. It was incredible, the numbers they were putting up. The producer's Jack Douglas. He's known for work with John Lennon, Yoko Ono, Patti Smith, Cheap Trick, New York Dolls, and produced three albums with Aerosmith as well that did really, really good in the 80s. You start with the title track, Tell Me What You Want. Starts as a Randy Jackson acoustic ballad, which intensifies to a frenzy melodic electric shred on guitar. One More Chance, the second track, wrote and played like traditional love songs. Randy Jackson really showcases his vocal range and great guitar textures and layers. Slow Down, that's the non-original by Larry Williams. As I said before, the fourth track, which is nice because you get to see the drummer, Gary Gilso, really shows his chops and his technical skills on some drumming and a really cool banjo interlude during the chorus. And also leads into the intro from Who's It Behind the Door, which is the number five song. And in Long Island, when they played it on the radio, it always went from, as I said before, into Who's Behind the Door because of the way the transition goes into the lead from one song to another. That's why this album also has a nice flow. I hope you guys listen to this. Casey, I know you're familiar with this material.
Absolutely.
Who's Behind the Door is an early staple for the group. It's a signature song throughout their early recording years. A very philosophically deep song. It's kind of like the dust in the wind of the 80s. The song reached the top 10 in the U.S. rock charts, but never hit the top 40 in the pop charts. Then you have When You Get There, a simple, entertaining, upbeat rocker with Randy Jackson on guitar again and writer. A Story About Infidelity, another fine example of drum fills and Randy Jackson intricate guitar execution to play. Take Your Fingers From My Hair, great vocal tracks from Jackson and shows off his chest-pounding Bobby Plant-type shrills. Great changes in his song and quick precision as well. Don't Walk Away, much like the other songs, arranged and executed by Randy Jackson to perfection with great drum fills and multiple changes, and the band showcasing their musical chops throughout the song. And then the La La song, which actually is one of my top songs in this album because it originally started as just a jam song. So it's basically an improv jam song. So at the end of the day, this is a solid album, probably the best band you've never heard of. Very special to me. I was a 17-year-old adolescent when introduced to these guys and had the privilege to see them in the local bars and even see them open for Aerosmith at the Nassau Coliseum in 1983. It's a great album, still holds water by this power trio who've listened to closely can hear the Zep and even Rush influences. After all, they were a power trio that left their mark on the music to millions of fans in New York and Louisiana. And the band is still performing live to this day. Critics dismissed this band as nothing more than a Zepp clone who tried to fill a void in the wake of the legendary band's dissolution after the death of John Bonham. I didn't see it that way. People that I knew that I grew up with didn't see it that way. We just love Zebra for their sound. And that's all I have to say about that.
All right. What would you rate it in your stars?
I think it's just shy of a 4. It's a very complete album. It's a 3.8, 3.9, not quite
that's
a 4.
Good one.
I think they earned their mark. I saw them live was in 2013.
I love listening to an album, but it's just like, man, you know, what just makes you wonder what could have been with the right support, you know, the right people guiding them in their career. Because that the first album is just fantastic, and it's got such a great
flow. I think we
were
talking about this off air last week, but when I said between this album and the one I did before, The Highway Robbery, I think they're the two best bands you've probably never heard of and never will.
Yeah.
Just great. Big Mike, I want to hear what you think about Zebra.
I like Zebra. I got like a hairband flavor from them because this was right at the beginning.
They got a little pigeoned because they did come up with Twisted Sister.
So, which I say hair band, I say that reverently, not irreverently, because I do like hair bands.
I love you too.
Good album. I mean, I would put it in my rotation for a band I've never heard of until you introduced me to them. So, yeah. But it reminded me of hair metal, and it was cool. I liked it.
I've heard this album just as many times as I heard Zeppelin 3 or Ozzy's Diary of a Madman. That's how heavily it's been played in my rotation. It's an album. It's got nice flow, some great changes, and just, you know, and another thing that was taboo at the time, for whatever reason, these record companies did not like these power trios. That's why there were only a handful of them that really made it. Excuse me?
What do you think was due to, Gad? With the power trio?
I think it's a detriment. I don't know. And it's weird because Randy Jackson did all the singing, but, you know, a lot of the record guys didn't like the fact that not all their songs had a bass line. It was synthesized. A lot like some Zeppelin. There's Zeppelin albums where half of it had keyboards and no bass in it. Like Physical Graffiti was like that. House of the Holy had a lot of keyboards with no bass. You know, with John Paul Jones did everything with the keyboard, you know. But not every band was Led Zeppelin and can get away with stuff like that either, you know. Rush did it and kind of pulled it off kind of in the 80s, 90s. Wasn't my favorite sound. Some bands just, you know, they're not all Ray Manzarek's or, you know.
Or John Paul Jones,
yeah. Good one.
Yeah. You and what keyboardist?
Exactly. John Paul Jones. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's a good keyboardist.
John Lord, yeah, that's a good one.
John Lord, yeah. I saw John Lord with Deep Purple back in yeah, like I said, I saw at the Patch Hog Theater, the newly remodeled Patch Hog Theater, probably sat maybe, I don't know, 1,000 people.
Nice.
Yeah, back in with Clay and Val back in, I think, 2013, 2012, somewhere around there.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's good stuff there, Big Ed.
Big Ed bringing us music that you definitely, if you're not skimming the surface here, Big Ed's diving deep.
Yes.
Diving deep for us.
Deep cuts.
Deep cuts.
Is there that? Well, there's deep tracks.
There's deep tracks.
You know, this week, SiriusXM had their free week. And I forgot how much. I thought I wouldn't miss satellite until I had it for like the last 10 days. So maybe I'll get it turned back on. I don't know. Thinking about it.
I love satellite. That's all I listen to is satellite radio.
Yep.
That's money well spent in my world. Some people are like, paying for radio. It's like, well, you pay for TV.
You pay a lot for TV.
Yeah. I paid my cable bill at the beginning of the month. And I'm thinking, what the hell am I paying this shit for? So, you know, you spend more time in your car.
I definitely do with my commute.
Yeah. And, you know, you want to listen to what you want to listen to. Let's face it, terrestrial radio sucks.
It's horrible.
Yes. Not good.
Unless you can get onto a, like a public access, like radio where the DJ gets to pick the music and
kind of like a community station.
Community station. There you go.
Or college radio sometimes. Right.
But you don't get the, say you're into country music or rock music or hair bands. You may just get that one DJ a day. The next one is Millie's Polka Hour. And you're like, well, I don't want to listen to polka. I want to keep listening to what I was listening to.
Well, not for this hour.
Not for this hour. It's Millie's Polka Hour. So that's the great thing about XM Radio. You can stay tuned into whatever it may be that you're tuned into.
Mike, did you, the country music,
Cosmic Country Cavalcade?
Yes.
Well, Big Mike's, I do have a Big Mike's Cosmic Country Cavalcade for this week, if you gentlemen would like to indulge in it.
Yes.
Don't I get my own bumper?
Oh.
Come on, man. I know I'm not Big Ed, but I...
Ba, 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 ba.
So I get the fairy. All right.
I just woke up from a dream.
That is a dream. Doing this show is a dream.
Nobody has freckles on their ass. Wear a condom. Brr! How's that? Would you like that as your moniker?
No.
No.
All
no.
right. Just testing the waters. I'll come up with another one next week.
We'll work on that. So here's the album I picked for this week. I'm a big Waylon Jennings fan, and I picked an album that was the beginning of the true outlaw movement, where Waylon actually had control over the production of the record, over the songs he sang on the record, who he had producing the record, and what band was performing on his records. Up until this point, Waylon Jennings' road band, The Wailers, did not perform on any of his albums.
Wow.
He was on RCA, and at this time, this record, let me tell you the record we're doing this week. It's Lonesome, Ornery, and Mean. Came out in 1973. It was on RCA Victor. Waylon was on RCA, if I'm not mistaken, his entire career. RCA and much of the Nashville scene in this era, up into this era, I should say, 50s, 60s, early 70s, the producer, the record label controlled what you sang, how you sang it, and who performed on the album. Waylon wasn't having this. He was a true musician. And he... We got feedback again.
Big Ed. You gotta change something.
Stand by. I think we're good.
No.
We're not good. I heard a click. Are we good? We're good. The story goes, Waylon was in Chet Aiken's office before this album. This is just prior to this album. He, up until this point, Waylon was sick with hepatitis that he contracted on an Indian reservation during a performance. How that happened, I don't know. I would like to know. And he was sick, laid up. He was ready to retire from his career as a musician because he's just so burned out by the Nashville music machine.
Yep.
So his drummer, Richie Albright, was really, really, really disturbed by all this. So he got Waylon in touch with, I'm going to butcher this guy's name, Neil Reshin. Is that right, Neil Reshin?
Sounds right.
He represented Miles Davis, who is a legendary jazz singer.
Yep.
He represented Frank Zappa, and he went on to represent Waylon and Willie Nelson. So they're in Chet Atkins' office, and Waylon was asking for an advance on his royalties to get this album done, to get started with it.
Mm-hmm.
Waylon had to take a piss. They were at a stalemate. They were Waylon and Chet Atkins were just staring at each other in silence. For those of you who have grown up in the sales scene, the person who speaks first loses. So these two men were locked in battle. Waylon got up because he had to take a piss. As he was coming back, Neil Reshin came out of Chet Atkins' office and goes, "That was brilliant. That was freaking brilliant. You got up and left. That sewed the deal up. Oh, where'd you go?" And Waylon told him, "I went to take a piss." He goes, "That was a $25,000 piss." So that leads us up to Waylon taking control of his career and playing the music he wanted to play with his band backing him up. So from this album forward, the Wailers performed on all his albums. Waylon, I think, Ed, you'll appreciate this. Waylon was okay with if there was some imperfections in the music, that if it wasn't perfect, it gave it that feeling of a live gig, where in the Nashville scene at this time, you had perfection. They didn't want anything to be out of place or the mics to bleed over or if whatever it may be. Big Ed would probably be able to talk more about music, the actual production of music, than I can. I'm just a listener and a fan. So this album, here's some of the tracks, and this was remarkable to me. All Music gave this 5 stars.
Wow.
So on this album, the title track is my favorite, Lonesome, Ornery, and Mean. Awesome, awesome song. You have a great rendition of Good Time Charlie's Got the Blues.
Mm-hmm.
A Willie Nelson song, Pretend I Never Happened. Waylon really kills it. Very well done. He does Me and Bobby McGee, not one of my favorite songs, but he does it pretty well. Now, there's bonus tracks on here. There's a song by Wynn Stewart, who is a Bakersfield country artist from California.
Oh, yeah.
Wynn Stewart song called Big, Big Love. The Wynn Stewart version, killer. Waylon does it justice, which is, this is on the bonus tracks, and then Laid Back Country Picker on the bonus tracks on this album. So those are my favorite songs off of this monumental record in country music that really lit a fire under the outlaw movement. Because Waylon's previous two albums, Ladies Love Outlaws, and the album before that, Good Hearted Woman,
yeah,
he was starting to take control of his destiny. So I strongly encourage all you country curious out there, that's what I'll call you, country curious, you may not think you like country music, but give this album a listen. It's a mixed bag of straight country, outlaw country, and some country rock with one of the greatest vocalists in country music and great guitar player, Waylon Jennings, one of my heroes. So the Big Mike Cosmic Country Cavalcade gives this album a 5-star all day long. Go out and pick it up on iTunes. If you're a vinyl guy like me, hunt it down in the record bins, and let's spin some wax.
There you go.
So that's all I got on that one.
Excellent.
Anyone that could balladeer the Duke Boys is okay by me.
Absolutely. I always say I ended up like the way I am because the Duke Boys, Richard Petty and Waylon Jennings.
No. The three uncles you never had.
The three uncles. It would be four, yeah, because you got Bo and Luke.
Yeah. Well, they're one person, really.
Yeah, Uncle Jesse.
Go Luke.
I see them as one.
You see them as one?
Yes.
The Duke boys as one?
Yes.
Yeah, the Duke boys are kind of like Siamese.
Luke, Uncle Richard, and Uncle Waylon.
Yep.
If one of them's not in the picture, then it's either tied up in a chair or something or in the jail cell. It's very – they're never far from each other, at least in the same county.
Well, they couldn't leave the county because they were on probation.
Right, but I mean, if one was in trouble, the one that was in trouble is either tied up in a chair or in a jail cell, and the other one was trying to hunt them down in the old General Lee.
Yep. That's what makes that the greatest television program ever.
And right? They had a main character named Cooter in the show.
Cooter, yeah. Cooter Davenport. That's before Cooter was a Cooter. Cooter was just a turtle then.
Yes.
How did a Cooter become a Cooter that we know as a Cooter now?
Now that's going to be a deep dive. That's going to be another podcast for another day.
We should podcast about Cooters.
And you mean turtles?
Turtles, yeah, yes. Of course. And Cooter Davenport.
Yes.
Played by Ben Jones.
Yes.
Congressman.
Congressman.
He was a congressman.
So crazy, man. What a world we live in.
Well, you know, he wasn't really Cooter, Casey. He was an actor who went to college.
No, but he shows up, though. Like
dressed like Cooter.
Yeah. I'm just swearing.
And Roscoe P. Coltrane. Yes.
Oh, and Flash.
And Flash, Velveteers. But you know,
Roscoe P. Coltrane was a recurring character on Andy Griffith too.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, he was James like one of the. He was part of a clan. It was always like this hillbilly clan that would come into town, and he was like the patriarch of the group.
What was it played by James Best though?
Whoever Roscoe P. Coltrane was that he.
Yep.
Well, the actor who played Roscoe on Dukes is James Best. He was a great character actor. He was in a bunch of westerns in the 50s.
Oh wait, no! I'm wrong. It's not Roscoe. It's Uncle Jesse because he has a very peculiar first name.
Oh.
His screen name or whatever whatever credits
you know,
he
you
goes
mean
by.
Denver Pyle?
Yeah.
Denver yes. Pyle. Denver Pyle was a regular Andy Griffith. I'm sorry.
Well, Denver Pyle had a long career in acting.
Yeah, very long. Yeah.
You know who was a great actor on that TV show? And you'd never know it. And he was like a stage actor, spoke 7 languages, including Japanese. Cyril Brooke, who played Boss Hogg.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
He was a very accomplished
actor. He had a long career too.
And he wasn't really fat. That was a fat suit.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
He wore a fat suit.
Wow. That's pretty awesome. That's a pretty good looking fat suit.
That's a great fat suit. The best part is the later seasons where Roscoe would always try to get the big tray of Boss's snacks. Do you remember that? Boss would have like a tray of fried chicken.
Yeah, yeah.
And Roscoe would try to go for it and he'd get swatted away. And
yeah.
Poor Roscoe. Boss Hogg would just eat away at it. Now they say that this turned into Duke's podcast, but I know
no,
a lot
it's
about
all good.
Duke.
So go ahead.
Do you remember in the opening credits where they show Boss Hogg eating in the boar's nest?
Yes.
It's from the first episode called One Armed Bandits.
From the pilot.
One Armed
Bandits.
Well,
the opening scene like is all from the first episode.
Correct. It's the first episode or first season because there's some other first season pieces in the opening credits. So they said Cyril Brooke he was a method actor. So the way Roscoe was walking into the boar's nest and they're talking about Boss Hogg eats raw liver and black coffee for breakfast. Waylon says, at least he doesn't dunk it. And Searle was actually eating raw liver for that scene.
Wow.
His breath must have been awful. Black coffee and liver?
And liver.
That's dedication to the craft right there.
And I'll tell you what, he did a great job with the acting. He has the fork, and he's like shaking it enough so the liver's like right before it goes in his mouth.
See, you can see that it's a raw piece of liver.
But my favorite, I am a big fan of the first season of Dukes of Hazzard. I think that's the purest season of the Dukes of Hazzard. And the first four episodes that were produced in Georgia before they went to California, because the show was just going to be a summer filler. It wasn't even meant to turn into the series that it was. It was a throwaway.
Oh, just like Police Squad.
Yeah. But Police Squad kind of...
Well, they got their movies later
on. Yeah, they got their movies. So, yeah, Dukes of Hazzard was going to be a filler.
Hmm. Interesting.
Then next thing you know...
TV was so different in the 80s.
So. I think so.
You know, just things that they would do, they wouldn't even try to do now.
Yeah. TV, it's... You got this.
Some really good reads on the General Lee on how they kept those.
Yeah, you know, that's what they need. The General Lee in This Is Us. It'd be a little better show.
But unfortunately, offend people. Can't play. Could you play Dixie anymore?
Well, or you could put any like a hot rod car. I mean, yeah, it's Kit. You know,
Kit is cool. That's the other show I really enjoyed, Knight Rider, which I mentioned on podcast last week.
Yes.
Knight Rider Historians on YouTube. Watch some more episodes this week. It's pretty awesome. They have a commentary. They commentary episodes.
Nice.
And the best part.
Is it a funny commentary?
Oh, yeah. Okay. They'll be like, look at this. Look how shitty this is. So,
I can dig
that. But it's some seriousness. Like, he talks about the guy. His name's Joe. And he actually owns two of the original cars from the series.
Jeez.
That he tracked down. And
hey, I was sitting here talking to myself for about 3 minutes about the Duke car, so it's good stuff.
Oh, well, what were you saying about the General?
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. We can circle back and talk about the General.
I don't know where I got lost. All of a sudden, I'm sitting here talking and looking at the Rays, and then I look back at my tablet, and it's like, the story is almost...
It's like playing with yourself and then realize you didn't turn off that Zoom call.
And then you're like, oh, shit. Exactly. What do I do? Do I finish up or do I stop? Might as well finish.
Yep.
Because I've gotten
for the big finale.
I got this far.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to tease myself.
But if you go on to John Snyder's YouTube page, he goes all into detail on it. He's like,
oh, he does. No, he's got a good YouTube page.
He's fun. Hey, let me.
Yeah,
I just want to like interject
the differences between the cars.
Oh yeah.
Some were used for close-up, some for far away. Some cars, the paint would still be wet on them. You know, they had like 13 or 14 cars always, you know, running or being worked on. And they weren't all 69 Chargers. Some were 68. What's that, buddy?
No, go ahead. No, you're right. Some were 68. Some were 69s. All 68s had different taillights. They had a change up taillight panel. I saw a picture on the internet of car carriers that had a car carrier with like 8 General Lees on it, and a car carrier right behind it with 8 police cars on it that they'd take out to when they were producing the show in California. And I forget the name of the valley there. And did you know they actually painted the ground to create grass?
I believe that.
Yeah, it was green paint.
They do that in baseball.
Yeah.
More than you think.
Yeah, just because it's all shitty and brown, but we need it to be green.
That happens in baseball because, you know, they're constantly standing in the same place, so it kills the grass. And, you know, some places are a little bit more.
It just saw water. Some of those green pellets pop up at the Rays. The Rays are playing right now.
They're home.
Yeah.
They're up. Yeah, well, that's that new turf is weird. It's whatever. It's but it's softer. It's supposed to be better on your knees.
It's like Charmin for your ass.
Something like that.
But they must have some kind of pellets in the grass, so when the ball hits, you can see the stuff. This green stuff bounce up from the ground.
Bounce up.
Yeah. I think that material is actually called real turf. Is where it's got like the rubber pellets.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm house sitting this week, and you know it's a little easier chore this time because a friend of mine, he used to have like a garden, and he had chickens.
Did you have to take care of the chickens?
Yeah.
What do you do? Like feed them corn or whatever? What does a chicken eat?
Well, a lot. You have whatever
chicken feed.
Yeah, you have feed. You get them and some other like granules. Because how they got to digest in their stomach, because they just throw stuff in there. So they almost
they need like some sand in their diet. Most correct. Birds do.
So
that's why when you feed them, on the dirt.
Right. So he kind of got rid of the chickens and, he doesn't have the farm. It's just the two dogs and he's got a doggy door. So I don't have to like even stay there overnight. I could, show up in the morning and, I run them around to get them good exercise and interaction. But the other morning I go in there, dogs are barking, which they do because I pull up, so they bark. I go in, and I look to the left, and there's something napping in one of the dog beds.
What was it?
It was a possum. It was a possum they let in the house. And so I tell you this story to tell you.
It was napping?
Yeah. I'm telling you the story to tell you why I think cats are way superior, because a cat would never let another animal sleep in its bed. A dog would. A dog would be like, there's the food. There's the water. Here, I'll show you. They've got a human bed over here. It's awesome.
Let me
you
show you this
sleep
one.
On it with us. Those two idiot dogs just run away from it and by me. It plays dead. So, and I know it's playing dead because I'm watching it.
Right.
Because it opens its mouth, too, a little bit. I'm like, yeah. All right. So I go back outside.
You tricked me, Mr. Possum.
I go around to the main front door, unlock and open it, go back around through the garage. I get a push broom, and I push like he's a like a curling weight or something, and I shove him right through the front door and close it.
That's awesome.
When I got back there later in the afternoon, he was gone. So obviously he was pretending to be dead.
Right. He's like, I think the coast is clear. I think I'm leaving now.
So a possum walked in through the doggy door and then took a nap, and the dogs let it happen.
And the dogs are like, fuck it. Hey, who's that guy over there? I don't know. Do you know him? No,
like,
I don't know.
That's a weird looking dog.
Can you imagine? That's frightening. I would.
Well, where they live, that could be questionable, have a doggy door.
Yeah, I guess.
So, can I ask this question?
Hmm.
What happened to the chickens? Did he eat them? Or did he find them new homes?
No, there was another guy that had chickens, and he donated to him. Because he had a change in career, so he don't have as much time around. And
This guy, Purdue, came down with his little paddy wagon and picked him up for him.
Yeah. No, there's another guy. They were all...
Oh, Tyson?
I think he was down to six. They laid eggs and stuff like that, and you get, 3 to 5 years of production out of them, of good production.
Then what happens?
Then they lay less eggs.
Is that when they become...
A meal?
A roasted chicken?
Yeah, that's when they, that's when Wendy's calls for the big baggie alert. Chicken sandwiches.
Chicken.
That's what Purdue comes around in his humanitarian wagon.
Yeah.
Well, they could be considered free range.
They could be considered free range.
They're free range.
But you gotta chase them around. You gotta get them in their pen, because if you leave them out, they're going to start disappearing, because everything in nature will figure out chickens taste like chicken, and they won't stop trying to eat them.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're called critters. At the very bottom of the food chain.
Yeah. Everything eats them.
I mean, the second you would let them out, you'd already hear the red-tail hawks already.
Caw-caw!
Yeah. Ready to swoop in.
They're like, a chicken for every pot tonight.
Yep. So that's my story.
Possum.
Possum.
They're not very handsome creatures.
They aren't.
No, but they serve their purpose in nature.
What do they do in nature?
They eat ticks. They have like the rabies venom or something. Like they can't be. They do more good than harm. They're probably the ones. If you decide whether to kill a raccoon or a possum, kill the raccoon.
Possum does more good.
Yeah. Yeah.
But hey, humane society, don't come down on us. We're not condoning killing anything. Not chickens, even though they taste really delicious.
But if you had not a choice. Possums.
Yeah, or raccoons. But if you're going to have to fuck, marry, or kill an animal.
If it was a Sophie's choice between a possum and a raccoon, that would be the raccoon.
Well, that'd be a tough choice. Fuck, marry, or kill.
Yeah. See, I think of the old 80s Canadian cartoon, The Raccoons.
The Raccoons. I don't think I've ever seen that cartoon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's called The Raccoons. CBS used to air it.
Oh, I remember that one. Yeah. Yeah, okay. I remember that one.
Yeah. Like, I mean, we were real young.
Yeah, I remember that.
I think it went off the air in like maybe 84, 83.
It did have a long run. I remember it. I remember it, though. Yes, now that you say it.
They did actually a special hockey edition for the for the holidays, and the guy's wearing a Mike Bossy jersey. So,
raccoons. Nice.
Raccoons.
So. I've never heard of it. That must have been.
Yeah. No, you're listening to Zebra in your tape deck.
Yeah.
No time for raccoons.
That's right.
No time for raccoon TV.
All right.
All right.
Sweet Melissa's.
It wasn't on during the Bugs Bunny hour, then I didn't see it.
Oh, with this Dick Tracy hat.
Where my Dick Tracy hat?
Classic, it's a classic episode. It's when, and I'll tell you, it's when Bugs Bunny gets to be the Easter Rabbit. And he goes, I'm the Easter Rabbit. Hooray. I think I sent that to you guys to watch.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
That was on our Easter show.
How about some vintage footage of the Subway Slam getting his wrestling chops?
We did. Big Ed shared the Subway Slam with us before he was the Subway Slam last night. And Karen...
Right.
The best line of the video was, even though we're in Florida, God and Santa are watching. That was the best line of the video.
Yeah.
And his comeback's priceless. I know.
I know. The Subway Slam. Before he was famous as the Subway Slam. Pretty awesome.
Yeah, he was honing his skill. It's Ted DiBiase.
Oh, no, that's not the one. We need the outro, not the intro.
I know. I don't know how that happened. Oh.
Well, that's it.
That's gang.
It. We had a pretty good show tonight.
Yep.
Not bad.
I think we covered a vast plethora of topics. We had a visitor.
Yes.
Ultra-masculine gentleman.
Yes.
The ultra-masculine gentleman from
interesting,
wrestling.
Interesting character.
I hope some more wrestling characters show up. I think we can get them. Hey, wrestling characters? Or characters, I'm sorry. Wrestlers.
Yeah.
You are characters. Yes. You are characters.
Yeah.
Wrestlers.
Yeah, that's
come to our
are,
show.
Yeah.
Show up on our show. We may have some more. Show up in the near future. So stay tuned, everyone. On that thought, have a wonderful weekend. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. And that's it. Peace. Yeah, have anything else to say other than peace? Vote for Ann Murray, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Canadian songbird. Would she get in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Carole King did.